Mr. Tunde Arogunmati is the relevance of what he's going to talk about today was a one-time president of the Nigerian British Association. Is that right?
Nigerian British Association.
Nigerian Britain.
Yeah,
not British. Yeah. But how come I'm not a member?
Well, it's left to you because you're actually more British than I am. You're a British
That's
citizen. I'm Nigeria 1,000%.
1,000%.
Yeah.
Anyway, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Baba JD. Thank
yes,
you so much.
It's nice to have. We went to school together, MBHS, right? It's nice to have you here. The reason why Mr. Arogunmati is here is because I want us to take a good look at the passing of the Queen and the issues that have come from it. And at some point, I was even thinking of having an open house, but I said no. Let me have somebody with me to guide me through all that. So at some point, we'll open up our lines. Now, I know that this the death of the Queen generates all kinds of sentiments. So, but whilst we let you have your say and your way to a point, we'd like that the language be temperate for those who feel otherwise from the way the rest of the world is thinking, which in itself is a legitimate way to think, but we'll mind our language. So at some point, we'll open up our lines, 0700-993-993-993. And we'll open up the alternative line for the ladies, 01465-7190. Supervisor Gekiri is still around, so nobody should jump that line, okay? Today, hi. So how are you?
I'm fine, what, thank you.
You were in the UK last week, is that right?
No.
You had left.
Yeah.
Yeah, I left. I was monitoring your movement. We have to keep an eye on you guys. To be sure that you haven't gone for any funding.
No. There's lots of outstanding things. I hadn't been there since COVID.
COVID, yeah.
Yeah, it was my first time after COVID, and I do have a lot of interactions.
Interactions, okay.
I had to catch up on.
So, okay, now, the Queen is dead, long live the King, you know, but what does that mean to us? Yeah, does it mean anything to us?
Yes, it does. From some of the important things to realize here is that we have a history with the United Kingdom, our colonial past, and not beyond that, we have also a lot of similarities in our. In fact, we're conversing now in their language, right?
Let's start from there.
Let's start from there. So everything about us is kind of how do you call it? Aligned with the British way of life, culture. And things, it's really in terms of corporate behavior and our lifestyles generally. So, education, values, our laws are derived from that, and standards as well, even though, that's another topic entirely. So, I think going back to the question you asked, here's a lady who, for the past 70 years, has changed history, both for her country and for the world at large, especially the Commonwealth to which Nigeria belongs, right?
Yeah.
When she came in, you know the situation of women, how women were treated at that time. She has done a lot for ladies, first and foremost, to show that they have the ability to lead at the highest levels. And in her reign, she's had 3 female prime ministers. And for the first time, the prime minister and the deputy prime minister are ladies. So looking at that from one point of view, from the other point of view, she has also carried on the institution. She, don't forget, she actually stands for an institution. She spent about the longest time, but she stands for an institution. That is the crown. And I'm sure you understand what the crown stands for. And she has also taught not only British people, but the world all over, the essence of institutional compassing, so to speak. Because I remember, for instance, if I could use that word anyway, Prince Harry, for instance, was it yesterday or so, described her as a moral compass for the rest of the world. That, in other words, she towed a line in which she gave up part of her life, but to toe the line of the crown. The crown took a lot away from her, for those who understand her history, but she towed the line of the crown, which is an institution to which her son has now stepped into. Yes, her character, her views, her contributions changed things a bit. If you remember, the present trend of modernization didn't start with her. It started with her great-grandfather, King George V. If you remember, he started aligning, because he did realize that the monarchy was beginning to, like, if you want, get out of style, Republican sentiments within the society was, and it's still on now, but for now, it's been a bit repressed. That mm-hmm. why should we have a monarchy? Why don't we just go totally democratic?
Do you think we should have a monarchy? Or the days of monarchies are gradually winding up?
Ironically, I think it teaches us that our monarchy, cultural, traditional leadership systems have been abused and have been truncated, have been, sorry to say, for instance, colonization was one of the first incursions into our traditional, whatever. If you remember King of Arawe in Benin, the Akitoye Kosoko and all that in Lagos.
Mm-hmm.
You see, at the time of the arrival of the colonialists, the traditional rulers ruled quite well.
Yes.
And by nature, our DNA is actually rooted around traditional leadership. So I think it's something that we should look back again and probably kind of reinvent.
When you say our DNA, which means that maybe we shouldn't be practicing democracy.
Democracy is relative, in my opinion. For instance, Trump showed that democracy could easily be disrupted if care is not taken, So it's not perfect. Even from ongoing things, even in the UK itself, there's been a transition on the political end of things. Mm-hmm. And you know what led to that, even though that's not what we're here to discuss. And you understand? But you see, the beauty is that the crown is steadier. The people, mm-hmm. And then luckily for the queen herself, she, first and foremost, actually, I should have done this at the beginning of her, my deepest condolences to the British for the loss of a very, very fantastic lady. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. To you first and foremost, to my colleagues, my partners in the UK and all over, and then the entire nation. So, so going back to my, here's a lady who has given her life to just ensuring that the crown goes on and lives on after her.
But don't you think it's been a privileged life? I mean, she's never had to really work for anything.
Yes. In any sense, in any other society, there's an elite, whether they like it or not. And the better well-structured that elite is, the more likely the stability in that system would be. And I'm talking of the real elite now, not just because you have a few million dollars or whatever here and there. An elite that is institutional.
Let's look at that more so in our own context. Because I tell you this, maybe because I'm half and half, everything I watched on TV, regarding this, everything I looked out for was always, there was something in my mind that always made a comparison.
Yeah.
I mean, for example, the detail, the process was something else. I 5-6 years ago, one morning, I went out to buy the Sunday Times, and lo and behold, the front page was like, what would happen if the Queen died?
Yeah.
I kept that paper.
Yeah.
So I read it from time to time. Yeah. I kept it.
Yeah.
Big fat. And the attention to detail.
Yes.
Every single detail, how the coffin would be carried, how this would be done, how it would be announced. And I put that side by side with what I have in where I'd actually call my own country. And I wasn't feeling too happy about that.
Yeah.
The other side, too, is, okay, so I look at the Queen. One of the things I remembered, for example, was when Obama came visiting. The husband drove, the Queen sat by her side, they drove themselves to go pick him up.
Yeah.
You know, that humility. When I also think that the Queen will tell Mandela, you can call me Elizabeth.
Yeah.
You know.
Mandela too was a prince.
In his own right. But when that happened, and I now side by side with what we have here, I wonder if there are any lessons to be learned.
A lot.
In how to... how to endear yourselves to people whilst you're still supervising them.
Yeah.
And they didn't succeed 100%. Nobody would do that.
She's not perfect, but she did her best.
You can see an attempt.
Yeah.
Even look at the humility that come down, talk to the crowd, mingle with them, make sure that, look, we're all part of you. Look at when Charles came out as king. He didn't go buy himself a new car.
Mm-hmm.
How old was that car? The rules that he gave him.
Gosh, that is a symbol of British.
Of British. And it must have been 60 years. He didn't go buy. Here, we had one traditional ruler here. I saw in the papers, I reviewed it in newspaper here with the sheriff, and they said, oh, we are going to install the blah, blah, blah. I don't want to mention his name. We bought a Bentley, is the one he's going to use to go from this one to that one. And from the other place, we also bought a brand new Rolls Royce he's going to use in the midst of the kind of poverty that we have.
Exactly. And we do not, for instance, don't understand this thing, symbol. That's another symbolism. Okay, for instance, yes. We have a Rolls Royce. I think, I mean, you're quite more older than I am. We had a Rolls Royce in which, yes, the Queen was hosted here, and I think it was.
It belonged to Ojukwu's father.
Oh, it did. Oh, I see.
The one, there was one that belonged to Ojukwu's father. They didn't bring any Rolls Royce.
No. What I'm trying to say is that I thought it belonged to the government. So I was wondering whether it was still preserved. And
no,
kept.
There was one of the visits she came in. The Rolls Royce belonged to, and I don't think the federal government, because if we had a Rolls Royce, that's what Yakubu Gawan would have used at his wedding.
Yeah.
But I think, if I remember, he used the horse and carriage, and also, of course, the car he would use.
But he did have a Pullman. He had a Pullman at the time.
Did he have a Pullman?
A Pullman, yes, where you could stand up and a 600.
Oh, yes, we had
Pullman.
That.
Yeah, so where's it? That. Where's it?
I honestly don't know.
Anyway, not
but
to worry.
But that car that King Charles went in the bus was an old institution. No, the one.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Was old. It
symbolized a lot of things.
There is something to be said for tradition,
yeah,
and preservation,
yeah,
of culture and tradition, which we must imbibe. And look at all the. I think the ceremony is a bit overdone, though.
No, I don't think
so. I think it's too long.
Well, you would think so, but you see, like you said before, and I go back to your point.
Yes.
You rightly elucidated that the process. It's been. Well, I can assure you that it's been since the day she stepped onto that throne. That process had already been in place.
In a book. It's a project. Yeah, London Bridge.
So even as King Charles, I beg your pardon, has now stepped into office, right onto the throne, so to speak, his Royal Majesty already has everything mapped out for him.
It's mapped out for him. He's an autopilot.
He's there for the next 5 years, 20 years, and I hope he stays there as long as God, as he said, God would allow him.
Yeah.
It's there. So that is what we have to learn. We have to learn that process and institutional whatever has to take precedence over personality.
Maybe we want to tell my listeners,
yes,
was there anything about succession? Was there any quarrel? Did anybody? Of course not. As soon as the said... the queen is, the phrase was, the queen is, I've forgotten there's a phrase. Immediately, it just said, long live the king.
Straight.
No. Submitted. No,
exactly.
Yes.
Which brings me back to a story you covered earlier today. I think we're talking about the paramount status of
yes.
Those are the kind of things we abuse. There must be order. Like you said, you see, there must be order. We have to revisit our roots. I'm telling you, democracy as it is now, in my opinion, and let me say again, I'm not talking for any organization, please. I hope this is not misconstrued. This is Tunde Arugumati. You invited me individually. I'm just so that I clear the air. I'm talking from my opinion, Tunde Arugumati, which here. I believe that we have to go back and understand how we think, how we live, how we work, the kind of things that is in our tradition, is in our psyche. And because the way we're doing, democracy we're practicing now is definitely something else entirely.
Well, let me put it this way. If I had known way back then, suffering during the Abacha days, you know, being in the trenches and contributing the little that I did.
Yes.
If I had known this was what we were going to end up with, I definitely would have bought a one-way ticket out of town. What we have on ground now is a sham, is a shame. We can't get ourselves organized. We can't tell ourselves some home truths. It's so depressing.
Well, I would say we're going through a transition. I don't see this as a sham. Let me tell you, sorry, sir. Let me come in here. I don't see it as a sham. Is it every country has gone through its good and bad times?
You don't start something from the end of the queue. If you have lessons to have learned from others,
yes,
then you take. That's what China did.
Yes.
China didn't go. They didn't go start from where Henry Ford started when they started producing.
But that's why they're China. We're Nigeria. So
I believe
nothing is really particularly wrong with us. There's something wrong in our social collective behavior, and that's what we have to understand. It's not, you see, as an individual, when immediately you step on a plane now on your one of your various trips, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Your personality changes. The way you even think changes, whether I like it or not. Especially when you're approaching a certain in Nigeria, you know how you go through the airport here, all kinds of. No, I'm not trying to. And don't get me wrong, I'm not running out of the country. What I'm saying is that we're at a stage, and the sooner we realize where we are. And where we want to go, the better. Which is why we need a leader. But a reorganized kind of restructured leadership.
But we can't
which is
say,
not dependent on an individual, but is dependent on a well laid out process in which everybody has collectively subscribed.
How come we can't say the same for our neighbors in Benin and Ghana? How come they are calmer and better behaved than we are? Is it the food that we eat? Ebani?
Not necessarily. I still believe that we should learn. You see, the things that, you know, as you grow up, you keep on learning. You make choices, you make a mistake, you get punished for it. So you keep on learning. So we're getting punished for our behavior, whether good or bad. So the sooner we realize that we have to get back into, and I go back to the traditional, you see, we come from a country that has, in essence, we have how many dialects? Maybe like 250 or more, 500 or more.
Yes.
Right? We have so many cultures.
Is that an impediment?
It isn't. Diversity is not necessarily what you call a bad.
So you're one of those who believes in one Nigeria.
One Nigeria, if everybody subscribes to it, not one Nigeria by force or by central.
What we have now, do you think is by force or we also?
Well, I leave that assessment to you because that's not the topic of this discussion.
No, you can't run away from that.
Yeah.
You're very active in the social media. And I mean, you're a Nigerian. You must contribute to your bit.
Yeah, from what's been.
Where are you running to?
I'm not running anywhere. Because you did ask me. You asked me the other time whether I had emigrated. I said no way. That's the last thing. We own this country. We have to sit down and build it together. Yes.
I must die here.
Yeah. By the grace of God, in due time, and when we've done
is due time?
Due time is, I believe.
So you're afraid to die now? You think it's not yet due time?
No, but you're here today. You have a duty. So you have something planned. Some people are waiting in they retire. They finished everything. As long as every day you wake up,
You don't want to die. Why are you suddenly stammering?
No.
Is it due time for you? Yes or no?
It is left to the Lord.
You pass.
I'm not going to pass a death sentence on myself.
I wanted to needle you.
No. I really appreciate it, actually.
I wanted to needle you a little bit.
No problem. But you've got a point. But going back to my point, you see,
yes.
The thing we have to do is everybody go back to the drawing board, right? Go back to the drawing board in terms of your community, in terms of your state, in terms of your region, and then come to an agreement on how you want to relate with, first and foremost, yourselves.
Yes.
And then the rest of the country, if you want to say, and then come back. Yeah, like you said, what we have is very, very, it's well below par and expectation for where we are. I will not run away from that. But it is left to you and I and everyone.
Who do we hold responsible for where we are, though?
First and foremost, we hold ourselves. Where was that? When in 1999, for instance, when General Abubakar opened up the doors? I remember very well. For instance, all of us said, "Oh, he's got to be joking. He's just spent 11 months or 4 months, and he's just trying to trap us. Mm. He's trying to do this." But some people got in, and the rest is history. The rest is history. So we keep on talking now from the armchair and everything. Where were we then? But that doesn't still stop us from having a responsibility.
Don't worry, I won't bother you asking you what Lagos was like then and now.
Oh,
since
gosh.
You don't want to go. I won't do that to
don't
you.
Don't try that.
I won't do
that. Don't try that. Because honestly, when I hear things like Lagos is... No, let's go into that.
I won't mess you up.
Because they don't want to believe... They don't even want to start believing. I tell a lot of people, young people, how Lagos was. And they don't believe it.
What I say is this.
Yes.
If Mobolaji Johnson had been any of the political contenders that we have today, by now you'll be cutting grass to get to work every day. The likes of Mobolaji Johnson, we will never forget them, and Femi Okuno as Commissioner of Works. They are the heroes of Lagos who made Lagos what it is today.
Yeah.
You know, of course, okay, so everybody contributed his quota.
Yeah.
But if you should be praising anybody, if you should be talking about who laid any foundation at all, is the likes of Mobolaji Johnson, who, by the way, is an over of our school.
Our school.
If we be boys must not hear this.
Honestly, we really do. Don't, when we're talking about Methodist Boys High School, do not mention
the same breath, please. Okay.
Yeah,
it's almost 9:25. I got to take a short break. When we come back, I'll continue with Mr. Tunde Arogunmati, and then we'll take your call, so don't go away. Yes, sir, welcome back, and I still have Tunde Arogunmati, who incidentally, talking of old boys, you know, Akin Akintoye, today is his birthday.
Wow, I remember him.
Akin Akintoye,
he was in high school when I just came in, yeah.
Yes, yeah. He was my classmate.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you didn't stay for high school, for HSC.
No, I didn't stay for HSC.
I was in Form 1 when you were in 5, so.
Really?
Yes.
I'm that old?
If you insist.
Really?
Yeah, 71. I came in 71.
Yes, I was in Form 5 then.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a pity, you know, that...
I'm not particularly young either.
Yeah, I know. it's a pity that the traditions one would have wanted to follow, take your child or your grandson
to
your school,
yes,
all that is gone.
It's so sad. It's sad. But it's another thing we should... You see, all our institutions, it's not only just political or... Our institutions, our economic institutions, everything,
even our school, we won't go into it in detail, but look at the mess that between the church and us, the mess we found ourselves in. It's unexplainable. And it's a pity that we don't put... Another thing I was going to say is... Look at all the buildings that they went. Some of those buildings are 100 and something.
Yes, and they broke.
The school that you and I went to. Yeah. Who would be demolishing a school like that?
Yes,
that
produces can you remember the
trees?
Yes, and the buildings as well.
Why don't we put a premium on tradition?
One of the places I went to when I was with this time was Durham University, and for half of the time of the graduation,
yes,
what was being discussed was the history of the, and you know, you were just in awe. Then you were in the cathedral, and you could see that this thing was built 1,000 years ago. Then they'll show you some, you know, and it was so exciting.
Do you know that things happened in my own immediate environment I can't explain? Just two things will illustrate what I'm talking about. I remember what Yaba Methodist Church looked like. Who demolishes that kind of thing? They did the same thing with All Saints. But look at the tradition. See what it did to you, even as an ordinary person, you know, as a citizen of the world.
Yeah.
Seeing tradition.
See the St. Giles Cathedral, for instance, in which the Queen
How old do you think that place is?
I don't know, but maybe some centuries.
Yes. And they keep it.
Yeah.
Keep it.
And each time you demolish something like that, you're demolishing part of your identity.
Part of your identity.
Part of who you stand for. And that's why we are a bit confused of who we really are.
Yes.
And that's why we get into situations in which we don't even know who is who anymore.
I mean, look at the story about Lagos, for example. Lagos, some of the things we had. You know, during Mobolaji Johnson, they built so many things. They built, I remember very well, they built the health centers. Then they built the shopping centers.
Yes.
Falomo, we demolished it. Yeah. We don't know what.
You know, with the health centers, you didn't have to go to General Hospital.
You didn't have to go to General Hospital.
And they were better stocked than General Hospitals are today.
You still have them now in some.
Yeah.
In
Randall, some, I used to go to Randall.
Randall. You had the one on Lagos Island. You had. Now you've demolished that one. You demolished the School of Nursing. The School of Nursing, I think it was either donated or seized from Mrs. What's her name again? And you demolished it. When I asked Lai Mohammed, why did you demolish it? He said it was a commercial decision. You know, and these are the things, because we don't have that attachment, that emotional attachment to history,
which is why
we're all loose and free.
Which is why I also mentioned elite. You see, an elite is a group of people who not only stand for being... at the highest levels, but who also uphold, and the elite also includes the traditional rulers who uphold the sanctity of the culture and traditions and culture and social values of the people, and that is what is missing, and that's why today we have misrode.
that institution is virtually dead when you have an Oba building a church in the palace, when you are the custodian of a traditional whatever. I think these things I don't think we can do anything yet. I think we'll just...
We can. Because
do you think so?
Yes, because there's at least, since there's more people like you and I who know what it should be or who know what it used to be.
But we're in the minority.
I wouldn't say so. Maybe most people are quiet, but no, they know what is right. It's not as if they don't know what is right.
Propaganda from the politicians.
Yes.
Made up mostly of people who do not know.
Without a doubt.
You can see, most of them cannot write their CVs at a go. You understand? That tells you, with the way if you tell a man to write his CV and they cannot do that at a go in one fell swoop, it's a problem.
People will not even write their CVs because they're not happy to put who they really are. And
that's what I'm saying. That's what I mean. Yeah. They can't write it. So we are going to be.
And I don't know why that should be. I think every Nigerian, if you're a genuine Nigerian, you'll be proud of where you're from, no matter how humble, no matter how high up, no matter how whatever. And that's what makes your story. It's not trying to make yourself into some mythical Messiah, if you want, because such a thing doesn't exist, and that's one of the problems we have here. We're looking for a Messiah. No, the Messiah is in us, so we have to sit down and really. I hope I'm not going out of scope here. But seriously, because these are the lessons we're taking out of this.
Yes.
Now we have to sit down one day. It's something we have to face, because we can't keep on going down and down and down the road, the abyss into limbo, and pretend that it's not happening.
If you look at the story of our country now.
Yes.
All the way down, we seem to be going from bad to worse.
Yes, but funnily enough, sir, it's happening in other countries. You could see the transition to. I'm sorry to say, the last administration in the U.S.
Hmm.
You could see that also in other countries.
Yes.
But what the difference? There is a system
that holds
most countries. For instance, even the United Kingdom, they have one of the best. I'm not trying to. We have our colonial past and we have our differences, but that's not for today. Now, but one thing I admire them for, and which is what we copied in the first, or we were supposed to do in the first, they have one of the best civil services in the world. It's that robustness that is holding them together, and will keep on holding them together, of course, in conjunction with their traditional whatever. So the problem is, in Nigeria, there is no such. It has been destroyed, and it didn't start today. It started decades ago when we started chipping away at our civil service, to the extent that now civil servants who were both my parents were civil servants, and they didn't do anything extra. And we didn't. I won't say that I was brought up in penury or anything. You understand what I'm saying? So that tells you how it was at that time. But today, some people are even ashamed to say they're civil servants. And another set of people we do not appreciate our teachers. You remember our teachers from?
Are you telling me you don't know how? Do you know what Lagos State, for example? Did some kind of raffle, and then several teachers were handed vehicle. I said, "Oh my God!"
Because it has people that teach you history, teach you values, teach you all kinds of stuff, and you
they produce you.
They produce us
as the next one.
Yes, you remember our teachers, and I keep on telling them that one other thing we do is in this country is that we like following fads. For instance, most of our teachers at my time, and I'm sure at your time, were NCE people. We had a sputtering of graduates, but the NCE teachers were better because they were trained to be teachers.
You know, yeah, that I had LCE.
Yeah, before she went for her bachelor's, but she was actually my favorite teacher.
She was everybody's favorite teacher.
Mrs. Landy Dada. She is still disciplining you. She taught you the best thing. She's contributed the way to.
Do you know that Yadada is the only person on the face of this earth that calls me Fola?
Oh, okay.
You know, my full name is Fola Jimmy.
Okay.
But as soon as I came in Form 1 and I said, "What's the name?" My name is Judith. She said, "No. What's your full name?" I said, "Fola Jimmy." I call you Fola.
Yes.
And for the 5 years, when everybody would call me Jimmy Disu.
Yeah, those were institutions.
Fola, let's hear
like Park Crepi, like our principal.
Did Famoroti ever cane you?
He didn't do.
Oh, lucky.
He almost won a day. He almost did. I had already died. God, I don't know. For something, I think I was praying to God. And for one reason, he just built us. I think, actually, it was somebody who threw an explosive, what do you call this, bangers. Banger. Yes, in class. And he was just coming from his residence.
Ha.
He said, "Who did that?"
You're very lucky. Let's take a call here. Where's this coming from? Hello? Where's this? Alien thing. Is that your?
Sorry about that.
All right. Hello, good morning.
Hey.
Kelvin. How now?
To God be the glory. Before I turn on to this West High School talk.
Oh, no, no. I beg, no vex. Not everybody was privileged to go to Methodist West High School, sir.
Yes. Uncle Jimmy, I want to thank you and your guests for believing in Nigeria.
Yes.
You see, we got it wrong. Like Fela used to tell us in those days, that we have been freed by the cholera masters. But we have refused to free ourselves.
Yes.
We still remain there. Is it not the same people that cried in there? They brought their food to the Indian people. Indian people rejected their food. They brought their culture. Indian people rejected their culture. They brought their religion. Indian people rejected it. They brought their technology. The Indian people accepted it. But we rejected everything they brought. You know, the most important thing, we rejected it and accepted their religion.
No, he's got a point there.
It's a point.
Yeah, accepted their names. In the process, we lost our identity. And some people are coming on Twitter and social media to blame the old woman. No, as soon as you speak, Jared.
That's how you became Kelvin. What is your native name?
I don't understand how it came about. Even though I tried so many times to change the name, it didn't work. I tried so many times to change the name. Seriously, it didn't work. But I made a vow that none of my children will bear any foreign name.
So your papa what now?
If they grow up and decide to do whatever they want to know, Wahala. But for now, I'm under my roof.
What's so your papa who now? Your papa who?
My foreign name, my Boroboro name.
Your papa who are you? Papa who are you?
No, papa Chidima.
My papa Chidima, okay. That's papa Chioma. From today, no talk Kelvin again, your papa Chidima.
Yes, papa Chioma.
Yeah.
Papa Chioma.
He needs to be proud of, actually.
He made a very valid
very
point.
Very valid point.
I've never thought of it that way.
Most of the countries that are moving forward today have their own ideology, they have their own...
What he forgot to add is, it was just by a slip you would have had an Indian
Prime Minister. Yeah, that's another story.
That's another story.
They were underground.
Do you think there must have been some underground moves?
I wouldn't want to go to that today, but of course there must have been.
Yeah. Nobody
you
can
see. I wonder if you were watching the hustings and everything.
Yes.
You could see behind the lines that there was something that
During that process, you were away.
I kept
monitoring.
We were watching it, and I was like, "Well, I don't know."
I mean, we got close to. I mean, close enough. It would have been in Nigeria, in which case all the Adigo kids would have packed their load.
Nah.
The Badenoch is Miss Adigo.
No, Kemi Badenoch. Yeah, yes. She thinks. Just like to be fair to all of them, mostly actually, Kemi Badenoch and Rishi. They actually have the mindset. Their mindset is very British. It's very, but they still cannot run away from obvious.
Well, what do you think about what Kemi said about about her Nigeria and so on and so forth? She made a quick statement about Nigeria.
Yeah, I think she did say about something about
corruption in her country and how.
Yeah, but I think we're out of place because it's not.
It was out of place.
It was very out of place. I didn't want to delve because, like I said, I don't want to get too political on this particular segment. But yes, I didn't quite like that because it was as if she was, and that's another thing. I don't want to address that issue as a personal thing to her. But that particular aspect, I didn't like it because if that was the case, why was she there in the first place? There was an element of corruption in their government. That's how come they had to change PM anyway. So that's an argument. The same thing in the US, any country. The Pakistani people have just started after Imran Khan saying he's... So that is not an issue. The issue is, what are the good things you brought out of your country? And you see, that's what we should always represent. What's the good about... And there's a lot of good in Nigeria. Nigeria is one of the most fantastic...
I would rather say Nigerians.
Yeah.
Nigerians are doing wonderful things all over the world.
Yes, yes.
But as a collective back home,
it's
a disaster.
It is a disaster. But the thing we should do is to pull out that, just like when you're making gold, you come from a raw material. We're still in raw material stage. But some of us need to sit down and look at how we bring out the gold from the
dross.
One
of the things that would help us is what we are not paying attention to.
Yeah.
We need to place a premium on education.
Definitely.
There's no running away from it.
Education and also understanding
levels.
Who we stand for. Like Papa Chioma said earlier, But I hope he doesn't mind. But
no, Kekano, that's his
yeah,
name.
Yeah,
he dare not take.
Yeah, yeah, like he wisely counseled. Mm. You see, the thing about the country is we must know who we are, our religion. What is that? You see, you might not even practice. You don't need to practice Ifa, but it is a philosophy.
Yes,
and it's a philosophy that is aligned with your own ancestry.
I believe,
and until you realize that. Then you are lost. You don't know who you are. Like a mongrel.
I believe that if we had stuck to our traditional religions, we'd have a better society. I believe so very strongly.
I still believe that our philosophy has to be still derived, go back to the good aspects of... Because over time, too, most of the philosophy, for reasons of selfish interest, have been diluted, corrupted. And so it's made to look like it's bad. It's not bad. That is who you are.
And commercialized.
Are commercialized. It's who you are. Like you said, I believe that traditional institutions should remain institutional. If you do not believe in the philosophy...
Don't go there.
Then, you know, it might be best for you to...
To step aside.
To, yeah.
Let's pick another call. Hello, morning.
Hey, good morning, Uncle Jimmy.
Morning. Long time, sir. Yes, please go on.
This is Ambassador Musa here.
I know.
Yeah. Uncle Jimmy, there is one thing that, to me, I'm not the joint issue with those who do not blame this UK. I blame them. Because for one reason, in the 80s, my elderly brother traveled to UK without visa. Even my junior sister to travel without visa. It's only my dad say I'm rascal. That's why I'm not have the opportunity. Now, you don't love me now.
No,
I'm too rascal. So that's why, you know, with the marriage equal issue, can't, as the colonial masters, why can't they treat this issue with maturity? After all, Magico, you know, they will come repatriate to Nigeria. And since that day, Nigeria obtained visa. Can you see that a bad leader? How about that?
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. We missed the Skype call. If it comes up again, let's pick it. But let's pick another call here. Hello, good morning. Hello,
good morning.
Morning, sir. Please go on.
Good morning, Uncle Jimmy.
Morning.
I just want to add that people had forgotten that we had slavery in our country before the colonial stars came in. We had our bars who had slaves. We had ethnic groups going to enslave other ethnic groups. People had forgotten about that.
Yes.
And I don't know why they keep blaming the queen, the old woman that lived a wonderful life, and keep blaming her for our problems. We've been freed from colonialism for a very long time, but what have we done with it? In fact, some of us were wishing that we still have the colonial masters with us. Maybe this would have been better. So tell me.
Yes, go on.
I am in the education sector in Lagos State.
Okay.
Things need to be looked at critically, I'm telling you. I am a teacher. Okay. And I'm not happy with what is happening.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much. We have a lot of background noise. Please, when you call from a quiet place. Before we go, because I have very short time. There's restlessness in the Commonwealth now. What do you think Nigeria should be thinking? Well, is it time for us to jump ship?
No, it's not time for us to jump ship. It's time for us to take advantage. The problem with us is that we always wait for people. I go to conferences and I hear Nigerians say about people helping them. And say,
Nobody's helping anybody.
No. When you go somewhere, you go there with your intellect, you go there with your what do you call it, your skills and everything. You're supposed to add. One thing I think we should take away from here is that instead of us, like the last two gentlemen spoke about, you know, we look about, there was slavery, there was everything. We have to think beyond that. We have gone beyond that, right? In the first instance, there are things to be sorted out there, maybe, whatever. But at the end of the day, what we need to do is to, you know, key into programs. The Commonwealth provides opportunities. Other countries are taking advantage. We should take advantage. I work on projects on which is in collaboration with the British government, for instance. I've worked on the African Knowledge Transfer Partnership some years ago by the British Council. I got there, we did what we had to do, and we moved on. We're working on, the British government is helping on, for instance, the Climate Finance Accelerator, for which Nigeria has now evolved its own indigenous accelerator, right? So, and this is to everybody's benefit. It's not just to Nigeria's benefit. Also, you should remember that the UK has its own interests. What are your interests?
What are your interests?
So, know what your interests are, align them, put them in position, and then run with it. And then I don't think we should keep on belly aching about the past. We should move on and use and be productive and add value to whatever endeavor we partake in.
I missed that call from Skype again.
Okay.
But I'll take one more call from our listeners and then we'll be out of here. Hello, good morning. There he is. Okay, let's pick it up. Hello, good morning. Hello. Hello.
Hello, Uncle Jimmy.
Morning.
Good afternoon, Uncle Jimmy.
Where are you calling? It's morning here. You're calling from Jakarta.
Jakarta. Wow. Jakarta.
Okay, yes.
Yeah. Okay, the loss of identity is a major issue in Nigeria and Africa at large. It's just like in Pidgin English, they say, you don't know yourself. You know?
Yeah.
It's very, very dangerous. A good position for any community or society to find himself. You said something like, you don't really understand our democracy or the democracy you fought for. This is not what you wanted. It's all boils down to this. You know, today we are saying we are practicing the American system. We don't know if it's, we are learning, taking from the British. I do a lot of juxtaposing with Indonesia. Let me give an example. In Indonesia here, the president was contested against him, the other party, and in his cabinet. He carries it as in the guy that was his that he contested against is the Minister of Defense because he's a general. You make the person useful. So we don't even understand our own democracy. It goes down to loss of identity, loss of ourselves. So we're just thrown left, right, center, anything that falls, we just pick it. The loss of identity is very, very pivotal. Look at China, look at India. Those guys, they held their identity strong. It's always so interesting listening, talking to you.
Okay, thank you very much. God bless you. Enjoy Jakarta, enjoy the sun, enjoy the heat.
Amen.
Today we got to go.
Yeah.
But you promise to be here again.
Yeah, definitely.
You enjoyed yourself.
Why, I want to look so short on your...
It's short.
Seems so short on your program, man.
Yeah, because you
it's
enjoy
exciting,
yourself.
Man. Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
It's like when you do with Babe, you know.
I don't know about that, too. I plead the faith on that.
All right.
I've
been speaking to Tunde Arogunmati, and for the benefit of this discussion, he's an engineer, but for the benefit of this discussion, is also the past president of the Nigeria-Britain Association.
Yeah,
okay, so I'll be back again tomorrow, usual time, 9 o'clock. And guess what? Tomorrow is Wednesday. What does that tell you? Tomorrow is Dear Bumi, which all of us love so much. In the meantime, I'd like to appeal to I don't want to use the derogatory word on the social media. Everything, every statement you make is being recorded by somebody out there. And some of them have implied threats. You need to be absolutely careful. A lot of you are young people. You don't even know what you are letting yourselves into. You think it's all fun, abusing people, you know, declaring support in a very violent manner. You've got to be very, very careful. Politics is very clear. You want to vote for somebody, another person wants to vote for another person. Sell your character. Don't spend your time running people down. It's not going to add votes. If anything, it's going to put people off you. Try and show some intelligence and stop talking about how this and that and start abusing people. It doesn't do you any good. It doesn't affect it doesn't affect me anyway. I mean, this job comes with the good, the bad, and the ugly. But it does pain me to see young people, you know, that you're fighting for and trying to put on the right path, that the ones who are setting you back. That is one of the things I can't get around my head. How people are so blinded.
Well,
they're so blinded to the truth.
I guess you have to deal. You have to just deal with it. There are various types of people. You just have to deal with them as they come. Yes. And I also want to reiterate again that everything I've expressed on this program is my personal opinion.
Why do you keep saying that?
Yeah,
whose opinion would this have been?
No, it's because, like you said, well, you made a reference to some institutions I
that's just
by the way. Yeah, I just wanted to reiterate that.
And then a past president always representative said, your time is gone.
Yes, it was, of course, but I just need
thank you very much, madam. Okay, I see you tomorrow at 9. Bye.